Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome back, kids, to the 2024 edition.
Your laptop audio is on.
I don't give a shit. Let him fucking hear it. Let him hear it twice. All right? God damn it, dude. I love hearing my own voice in fucking reverb. All right? Why? Because I picked who was in the fucking national championship, unlike you losers at home. God damn it. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. No need today, friends. Bob, I want to say congratulations to you.
Hooray.
You joined me this year, and I don't know if you remember. Mm-hmm. Preseason prediction show back in August. Who do we have in the national championship?
Michigan.
You and I had Michigan.
Yeah.
These fucking losers had SEC teams. Sorry about it.
Yeah. I probably had like Michigan, Georgia, if I'm being honest. But Michigan was who I thought was going to win it all, or who I predicted then was going to win it all. I think you did too.
Yeah.
Against your
I did.
Like, soul.
I did. Game. Against my whole entire soul. The reason I bring this up at the top of the show is since we're back, obviously, everybody's like, well, who you got tonight? And I dropped the hammer on a huge monster bet on tonight's game, and I'm flipping. I'm flipping sides here.
You're done?
I'm going Washington.
I mean, I feel like that's just got to feel good for you to not bet on Michigan.
I'm going Washington. My bookie is doing something fucking awesome. I don't know if you guys noticed over the holidays. They're doing it now. They're allowing you to cash out your bet. It's essentially a hedge. What Delco talks about all the time about hedging on different bets over the season. Now, they'll take a little portion away.
Yeah.
So they took away some of my winnings, but there is a cash-out option now on open bets on my bookie, and it allowed me to take the money off of Michigan in the national championship. Mm-hmm. It paid off at about 68% of the actual bet.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's their hedge as well. In case Michigan were to win and they don't have to pay me out and vice versa.
Yeah, they'll offer payouts. So other companies will do that as well. You see it, like they'll post on their social media. They'll be like, should you stay in the parlay or cash out?
Yeah.
So like if you hit like three legs of a four-leg parlay, they'll offer you cash out.
Yeah. And so I got the cash out today.
Yeah.
I got the cash out. I took it out. And I went all in on Washington
on the dog
today.
I'm gonna have to do that with my house soon.
Yeah?
Because it's gained so much value. It would be. I feel like it would be stupid of me not to sell it at this point.
We'll do it.
Like it's.
How much? What do you have left on it?
Well, I don't know how much. Off the top of my head, I don't know how much I have left on it. But the cash out is going to be 800 to 1 million.
Well,
it'd be kind of dumb to
on
not
tonight's
do that.
Game.
No, I'm not. Definitely not doing that.
I would. I would
on the Huskies.
Like Michigan is clearly the better all around team, but when does that ever fucking matter
right.
in a championship game? You know what I mean? It's whoever shows up and plays. Like stars win. Like fucking for you guys back in what 2001 was it? Was that the
02 against Miami?
Maurice Claret
yep.
blew the doors off of Miami. Willis McGahee got hurt. Whatever.
McGahee
right?
got hurt. Miami had lost. Miami was essentially
they had won 31
Georgia.
Consecutive games.
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah.
Right,
it was nuts.
And that was just like an NFL team.
And that was
also.
The first loss of Ken Dorsey's career. But it wasn't about Dorsey played fine. McGahee went out. Whatever. But Claret won that game. Vince Young. Right, the stars win fucking championship.
So wasn't
games.
McGahee's backup Clinton Portis?
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a disgusting team.
Dumb. Mm-hmm.
We were able to pull that off in I think double overtime. I was at that game.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
But stars win games, and right now, because LSU's not in it, they're done. Fucking Penix is the best player in college football that's still playing right now.
I agree.
Fucking nobody on either team is anywhere fucking close to that dude. So I think Washington bet makes sense to me.
Yes. And so Michigan fans out there, it's not because I went to Ohio State or any of that stuff. Like, look, I picked you guys to win it all for Christ's sakes. The only reason I'm backing up on this is watching that game against, and I picked Michigan and I picked Washington. I had Washington money line, which we all got paid over the holidays. You're welcome. Daddy was back in college football, NFL. I didn't touch over the holidays. But you guys saw those college bets at least. With Washington beating Texas like that,
yeah,
it was that secondary where I don't know what you do to stop these wide receivers and Penix.
Well, Texas has a shitty secondary in general.
So does Michigan. And that's the problem with tonight's game.
Well, the only way to fucking solve that is to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. If your secondary sucks, you can't draft new players. Right. You can't make them good all of a sudden. There's no scheme that's going to solve that except for getting to the quarterback with your four down linemen. Right. Because if your secondary sucks, chances are you're running schemes that are like cover three, cover four, right? Mm-hmm. Like your linebackers are staying back in coverage. So your four down linemen have to get to Penix. Right. Otherwise, you're not going to win that game.
And nobody was able to against Texas. He didn't go down once. He didn't have one sack in that game.
Yeah.
Texas has a decent defense. Mm-hmm. You and I saw them against.
Their D line's insane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you and I saw them against Alabama. They were able to shut down Alabama. And I was like, all right, great. You know, I figured Michigan would be able to shut Alabama down as well. I just don't think they'll be able to put up enough points on the board. I think they'll stop Washington's run game tonight, but I don't think they'll stop Penix.
Well, who's going to stop Blake Corum, though, is another question. Because if Penix is the going away best player left on these two teams, and I think he is, Blake Corum is a second. He's the second best player, right?
Easily.
So I guess it depends. Washington's soft, right, defensively.
Yep.
But they played better than I thought they would. Like, Texas's offense is not that bad.
This is easily the most disrespected undefeated team I've ever seen. No. Like, in the P5, obviously, like, Liberty can suck it.
They're still an underdog. Undefeated anymore, they're still an underdog in this game. And, and the spread is so high. It's 4.5 on my bookie. Mm-hmm. That's what I got it at today. Right now, ESPN, and I don't know who they're using in Vegas, they've got it at 5.5.
They're MGM Grand, I think.
Jesus Christ, man. That's a lot of fucking points. I see this as a field goal game
ESPN,
either way.
ESPN is Penn now.
Yeah, oh, you're right. They're ESPN bet.
But they used MGM before they bought Penn. But anyways,
that's a lot of points. I think it's a field goal game. And even if it's 38-35 or whatever it is, you still win in cover. Therefore, I did take the points. I did not go money line tonight. It could be a high-scoring game, but they've got to keep up. If I'm Michigan, run the ball down their throats, run every fucking play.
Got to be clock control the whole time.
Clock control.
Yeah, well, you got Blake Corum, so you can do that.
You got a Donovan Edwards, too.
I mean, even JJ.
JJ can run.
Yeah,
so you're good.
I think, honestly, the reason I think that Michigan is the favorite is not about what's on the field. I think it's because of the coach. I think Harbaugh is the reason they're the favorite.
They could be. I think either way, like, let's say win or lose tonight, I think he's out of there, and it doesn't really matter. Yeah. The sanctions are coming down on these guys, and you got to fucking abandon ship there. You want him to coach the Eagles up there?
You know, we might need to change the entire staff. Harbaugh, come on over.
We'll get to that collapse later.
Yeah,
we will.
But a lot of people in the chat want me to apologize for my Michigan takes this season. I'm not gonna, so quit asking.
Yeah. And, it was a down year for the SEC. That's it.
It was. I will say, though, if there's one player to watch out for this entire game, it's Will Johnson of Michigan. He is a complete X factor in the secondary for Michigan, so he's going to be the one that kind of like holds down McMillan, Polk, and Rome.
So. And so here's why I switched, by the way. It's because of that. Is they couldn't stop Marvin Harrison in that game, and that was a dog shit quarterback they were going against. Penix is fucking excellent, and I mean, look, and Jesus Christ, if they couldn't stop... Is
probably the second drafted receiver after Harrison.
Yes. Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah. Well, Neighbors. It could be Malik Neighbors out of LSU. Yeah. So,
but Roman, he's still a first-round
pick.
Top
three. So with that, I just don't see how they'll be able to stop him. Even Honda McCord for Ohio State put up 275 against their secondary.
Right.
And he's awful. Marvin Harrison still, I think he had 118 yards in that game. He had a great game as well with a terrible quarterback. Imagine what Penix will do. And that's why I switched this bet. Now that Washington was in there, if it was Texas against Michigan, I would have stuck with Michigan and not cashed out simply because they're going against Penix and those wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you stop that tonight. And it's on turf. So all those guys on turf are fast as shit.
Yeah.
Tyler, I think we're overlooking one of the most important aspects of the game, too, is Washington's center should be able to snap the ball to their quarterback.
Mm. Well, was that on him or was that Milroe?
That's on
Completely on the center. It's been a problem all year for Alabama.
They just kicked him off the team.
Yeah. He just got booted.
He transferring.
Ohio State signed him.
Yeah.
I
don't love that.
Well, they're going to move him over to guard heard.
That's good.
So.
Tyler Sutton in the chat says that Michigan has the second best secondary in the nation. I assume he's basing that on
stats,
just the
overall defense,
the stats from the season.
Now he, by the way, he's correct in saying that, and I'll stare down the barrel at you on this one. The problem is, You never, not once, have gone against a great quarterback all year. No, not, this is not the even, first time.
Well, but even Milroe is okay, right?
Yeah, but he can't throw. He threw for 118 yards.
He's like, the best quarterback they've seen, probably, but he's
little,
not very good.
He's a running Viola, like yeah. Tua's little brother. Might be the best.
Yeah, maybe he might have been the best actually
that they've played against.
But even he's transferring for another time. But like these Penix stats, is on these, a different level.
These stats that have them ranked second in the nation in passing yards allowed, which isn't a great. That doesn't mean your secondary is great, by the way. Just for shits and gigs here, but East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, Rutgers, Nebraska, Minnesota, Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue, Penn State. All of those teams have dog shit quarterbacks.
Ohio State every dog shit quarterback. Iowa, I mean, Iowa in the national championship. Yeah, they has scored no zero, quarterback. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Scored
they, zero they haven't played anybody with a good offense like this. So
it's those stats are meaningless.
And yeah. It is, it's shocking when you see it for the first time all year. So like, I don't know how the fuck they're going to do it with Alabama. Honestly, they didn't see it
shutting down Milroe. I mean, Milroe's a fine passer, not like an amazing passer, but it was really the offensive line. Like Bama's offensive line is fucking trash. They let up more sacks than the other three playoff teams plus Oregon combined mm-hmm. this year, on the year. They let up Milroe got sacked 49 times.
Good Lord.
Right. So, like, dude, even in this Milroe game, I think he only passed, like, 20 times in this game. So yeah. you haven't gone against a true passing quarterback.
He got sacked six times. He got tackled there were 10 tackles for a loss in that game.
I mean, their line, I don't even understand deflection. How an Alabama line gets like that. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah,
it was not great. The fact that they beat Georgia was shocking.
That Georgia, what the fuck, man? Like Nick Saban is just inside of Kirby Smart's fucking soul. Like, how the fuck does Georgia lose that game? Looking back,
I don't know.
They completely choked away a third straight championship.
I mean, there was also some horrific calls. That fourth down pass for 40 yards that hopped off the carpet.
Yeah.
That for whatever reason Kirby Smart didn't want to look at again.
I'm telling you, man, Saban's inside of him.
It was weird, but so we'll go around the horn here for tonight's game. Delco, we'll start with you. So Joel is what, trapped in Phoenix or something?
Yeah, he's stuck.
That's why you're stuck behind the desk.
Yeah, here. I'm not a coward. I'm going to face the music.
Here you go.
All these Michigan fans coming in at me, getting out on my ass. You guys have it's kind of like the Eagles last year with the Super Bowl, just a super easy path. I think you guys are still frauds. I think Washington wins by 2 touchdowns.
D'Anthony, who you got tonight?
I think that Harbaugh is a better coach, and he has Corum and McCarthy. I think Michigan will probably win. Okay. I think it'll be closer than this line, though, so I'd probably take the points with Washington if you're going to bet it. But I think Michigan wins the game.
Currently at 5.5 right now. Who you got, Bob?
Dude, first off, I'm just excited for this game because I think styles make fights. This is two like very different teams, right? Which is fucking fun. I think this is a potential to be like a pretty classic game.
Great championship game. I'm excited tonight.
Yeah, like it's just fun to have two teams you haven't ever like what Michigan and Washington haven't been in a championship game.
Michigan hasn't ever been. I mean, 1997 they had a half.
They were the last non-BCS champion.
Yeah, and then Washington hasn't been in the championship since the 60s or
They won the championship. They were co-champs in 91 with Colorado.
Okay.
So they both have championships in our lifetime. But I'm on the side of Dan here. I think Washington at the very least covers, but I'll go out on a limb and just fade myself here as I think Washington wins this game. Because if somebody's going to pull off a big play, it's probably Washington, and if someone's going to make a mistake and turn the ball over, it's probably J.J. McCarthy.
Yep.
Between the two teams, it's got
to
be.
He tried to on that first fucking throw of the game against Bama.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, that's like Shannon Sharpe always says this. It's not always about who makes big plays. It's about who doesn't make dumb plays.
Right.
In championship games and shit like that. But still, Washington playing in the conference that they played in gave up 400 yards a game.
Yep.
400 yards a game. That's a lot of fucking yards. They average giving up 140 yards on the ground against dog shit teams.
Yeah.
What's Michigan going to do to them? With Harbaugh as the coach? Look, Harbaugh's not the choke in big moments guy. You know what I mean?
We'll see.
Like, he's won titles before.
He never won a college one. I don't think he won Super Bowl.
With the 49ers, right?
No, they lost.
Oh, that's right.
It was Kaepernick. It was Kaepernick. So,
well, can't blame that one.
I think Harbaugh chokes this away tonight, and I think he's out of there. Sanctions will come down during the offseason here, and I think he ends up at the Bears.
You and I have been told privately that, we'll make it public now, Belichick was going to the Chargers, what did we say, that 3 weeks ago, whatever it was? Yeah. Like, that still holds, according to our dude. So
yeah, that's the word on the street. He's going to the Chargers.
Harbaugh goes to the Bears.
There's some, Harbaugh to the Bears, and then maybe Rex Ryan to the Falcons right now. I'm hearing that.
God damn it.
Bears going to fire their coach after kind of having late
get him out of
season
there. Get
revival.
Him out of there. Get him out of there. Start anew. Start anew with somebody who actually loves the organization. I think Harbaugh is a great hire there. He was good in the NFL.
Yeah, he's good. So, Coach of the Year, by the way, has got to be DeMeco Ryan, right?
Well, in the NFL, and we'll get to that. We'll wrap up in college here. Overs 55.5 in this game. You guys taking the over under in this?
Well, if Harbaugh's smart, he runs every fucking play.
Uh-huh.
Every play. Like maybe some quick passes, maybe early down, first and second down, he throws deep balls to try to get them off the run game a little bit. But controlling the clock is their number one weapon. Against a guy like Penix, you want to keep him off the field as much as possible.
Keep him off the field, and I assume that it's a Pac-12 defense, so I think there's probably I have to imagine Washington has just like general depth issues. Like they've got some good players on defense, but you know, not necessarily like the depth of an SEC team or like a Michigan or Ohio State would.
Yeah.
So yeah, gas him.
You probably You probably don't need to worry about Washington getting to J.J. McCarthy that much because he's not dropping back on 5 and 7s that much anyways. And if he does, if he drops back on 5 or 7 and there's a fucking blitz, he's taken off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And unless they stack the box every play.
If they do that, he can still dump it over the middle. He's got some, he's not the best passer of the world, but he's got a little touch. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's not the worst either.
He's a smart game manager.
Projected in the like second or first round.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I would never draft him in a million
years. Well, that's another rumor right now that wherever Harbaugh goes to coach, he's going to draft J.J. McCarthy. Ooh, and just bring his quarterback
with
him.
What a fucking paw wish for the Bears, right?
Man. That would be awful.
No, fuck that. Yeah, I mean, if he goes to the Bears and trades out fucking Justin Fields for J.J. McCarthy, he may not be long in Chicago either.
No,
dude. This over-under, though, I think this is a 38-31 game tonight, so I'm taking the over in this. And I think it happens. And I think there'll be some huge runs by Michigan where it's like Corum will rip off a fucking 60-yarder, and you're like, all right, cool.
And
man.
You don't want to be.
Penix is going to have to fire down the field.
Everybody's going to be watching this game with their friends and shit tonight. You don't want to be that one asshole rooting against points in the national championship game.
No.
You fucking cunt.
No.
Just bet the over. I don't care if you lose.
Yeah, I agree.
Asshole.
I agree. We'll get to the Delco. Who do you got?
Well, I got Washington, but can I throw out a prop bet?
Go ahead.
First player to score.
Yep.
I'm trying to find the odds right now on my bookie, but I'm sure it's pretty juicy. McMillan for Washington to score the first touchdown.
Really? Why?
He's a stud.
I get it, but...
And I think Rome will be probably double covered.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I'll throw a hunch on there with you. I'll go for that. We'll get to the rest of the bowl season now here. All right, we'll start with the game you were at.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Michigan here. This is... We asked this question in the audience here. I have a massive problem with the fucking bowl games and the way they're headed right now. And we asked everybody in the chat how you end this, because to me, that Ohio State-Missouri game was the final nail in the coffin for bowl game season where...
Oh, not Georgia-Florida State?
That was the day after. So
yeah,
like,
I know.
But that game is where everything started, and then it all went downhill after that. You were there.
Yeah.
And here's what pisses me off, right? So you're a Missouri fan, diehard, all your friends came in, all your family, spent money, hotels, all that other shit.
Yeah.
You want to see the best of the best play. Your team showed up to play, and that's fucking fine.
Well, they showed up to play all year, too, right?
They did.
Your defense showed up to play, and also,
half
honestly, your
of
punter.
The defense.
Your punter did, really.
Who transferred after the game, by the way.
The punter did?
Yes.
What a loss. That guy is killing
this
us.
This is where we're at.
Why doesn't he just go to the NFL?
I don't know what's happening.
Like a punter. Like
you're not the transfer portal.
You're only going to make so much money in the NFL. Well, Ohio State got a quarterback in from somewhere. Where was it?
Kansas State.
Will Howard.
Yeah, Will Howard, which we'll get to in a second. But so
he's not the
You
answer.
Know what? It's interesting.
Find out.
I know your general point is like it's not fun anymore or whatever.
Well, half the defense was gone. Half the offense was gone.
Yeah.
Like I'm on a group text with all my buddies from college.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out who these people are. And then in the fourth quarter, Ryan Day starts putting in 5th- and 6th-year seniors for the COVID year and shit like that. And it was like emptying the bench as if it's a fucking child's game where you're like, hey, dude, it's disrespectful to the bowl games. It's a big six game.
I mean, there was 60,000 Ohio State fans there.
Which is awful to me. Like, you're spending that kind of money asking your fan base to come down so you can fuck around and not play these fucking games?
Like you said, we were texting. It was a sellout. But, I mean, like, both sides of the stadium, the Missouri and Ohio State sides, filled to the brim.
Right. Yeah.
Like, a ton of people paid a lot of money to be there.
I think it was 3-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The first half, 12 out of 13 possessions were punts.
I think the only solution, which your guy got famous and then fucking immediately hit the world.
Which one?
Your punter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
fucking A.
The only solution I've heard for this that makes any sense, and we'll see next year with a 12-team thing, maybe it's different. I don't know how it's going to look then, right? But
it's going to be worse. I'll tell you why.
Well, not for the top 12 teams, though, right? So it's going to be less teams. Right now, if you're not 1 through 4, there's a really good chance your top-line players are not playing those bowl games. Actually,
upperclassmen ones,
especially
for sure,
upperclassmen, right? Because they want to get they're leaving for the draft, and they don't want to get hurt or whatever the fuck. But now it's going to be 1 through 12. That's quite a bit more than 4. That's 3 times more.
I believe that encompasses all the New Year's Six Bowls.
It'll be all the New Year's Six Bowls, yeah.
So at least because the first round of the playoffs is at home.
Yeah.
It is.
So that's at least – it solves that part of it. But for the downstream teams, I think it was Saban actually that I heard talking about this is – revenue sharing from the bowl revenue to the players through NIL.
Like no, you know who it was? Harbaugh, actually. So Harbaugh did a presser the other day, and he said, look, we should be splitting some of this money with the players and everything else.
This was like a month ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. And look, Harbaugh has been, and I'll say this, because I'm not a big fan of that fucking guy, but not because he's at Michigan. I just think he's a fucking dork in general. But he was the one who's been advocating for this for 2 years, saying we should pay the players and everything else. He said a portion of our salary, if we win the national
bonus
championship,
or whatever,
should go to the players. And I think he's got the right model there because right after that was Georgia, Florida State.
Right.
Kirby Smart, who in my opinion is the greatest coach in college football. I don't really care that he lost that one game to fucking Alabama. I just like the way he runs that program there. He said his exact words were, I hope everybody watched what happened today and knowing that this is the future of the fucking game if we don't fix this.
Yeah.
And it is, and it sucks. Now, here's where a 12-team playoff, and I'm going to get your thoughts on this, is going to be even worse, in my opinion. Now you're going to be asking kids to play 16 or 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Marvin Harrison, if you're a Caleb Williams, and let's say you're in that 10 to 12 seed, and you've got to tack on 3 more fucking games, and your agent's already calling you saying, hey, you're top 5 in the draft. Do you want to risk that for 3 more fucking games?
And there's no elegant solution to that either because like your mind immediately goes to, well, let's play less regular season games. Okay, that's fine for 1 through 12, but 13 through 135, that means less revenue for the school, less exposure for the kids.
Doesn't
make a lot of sense, right? And you can't like it's not like you can decide halfway through the season like, "Oh, we're going to drop these games because we're not going to make the playoff anyway." Mm-hmm. Right? Like, nobody's going to do that.
No.
So, what's the regular season's 12 games, conference championships 13, and then how many rounds of the playoffs?
Is there any point of a conference championship anymore, though?
3 rounds and next year? No. Well,
that to me is the thing.
I know, I'm with you.
They're doing away with divisions in all the major conferences now. Yep. So, whomever's got the best record at the end of the year, that's the conference championship.
Right.
It's sort of like you got to do that. Like in the old school baseball pennant back in the day.
Right. Or college basketball now. You're really technically awarded the conference championship if you just have the best record in your conference at the end of the regular season. And then if you win your conference tournament, you're the conference tournament champion.
That at least gets one game out of the way. But if you're a fucking blue blood, if you're a perennial national title contender, you're still at 15 games a year, which is 2 more than has ever been the case.
Right? And in the NFL is already – they're already clocking in at 17 games.
I think after this year, I think the preseason's gone. I don't think there will be a preseason anymore after this year.
For the NFL? Yeah. Probably not. But we asked the listeners at home, and we said, hey, guys, what are all your thoughts on this? And the message board in Drinking Bro Sports, if you're not there on Facebook, join, subscribe. It's free. Talk shit. You can see all the bet slips in there, and it's great. I went through and cherry-picked some of the best comments. Forgive me, I didn't write your names down here. And I think combined... collectively, you can solve this pretty easily, I think, just with everybody's feedback here. One, there was a listener that said, move up the college football season to August. Either the beginning to the middle of August, have these games over by December 1st, that first weekend there.
So the end of the semester, basically.
Correct. Yeah. And then play your bowl games from December to January 1st,
yeah.
It ends. Have the transfer portal from January to February. Everybody hop in after that. So you don't have a fucking starting quarterback from a 12-1 team.
Right.
Transfer before a goddamn bowl game like that ever again. It has never happened before. And it was weird to see for the Ohio State sitch there. I like that. Somebody else said 9 conference games. So play 10 regular season games. But then your one out of conference game needs to be a P5 school. Okay. If you want to qualify for the top 12, that way every game is still important. You're playing guys within your conference. I like that solution a lot. Keep all your rival games. That's easy.
Yeah.
You know, fuck. Who's Missouri's rival?
Kansas.
Keep that game on the charts.
Yeah.
Because that would be your... Yeah, that would be your one non-con of the year.
Right.
Give everybody else the same non-con.
Like Florida State.
Correct.
Yeah, but that's non-con. And again, that's fine for the top certain percentage. I don't know how much. Maybe the top 50 teams, mm-hmm. right, out of the 133 or so in Division I. But the rest of those teams, the reason they play Alabama and Ohio State and everybody else is for that revenue, that paycheck.
Correct. Right? And it's $1 million.
Yeah.
It's usually $1 million.
I don't know how you make up for that. I mean, maybe... Maybe fuck them, right?
Well, for the smaller schools,
it's still a product. Like Liberty, there's a couple of schools that stand out from time to time. You know, UCF in the past, Liberty, shit like that.
But there's even schools that have like played their way up into sort of like college football's like sloppy unofficial relegation system, right?
Yeah.
Like Urban Meyer, Utah is not in the Pac-12 now, Big 12 without Urban Meyer being there 20 years ago.
Correct.
Right? They were a mid-major school totally and completely. Now they're a major school, and they're probably going to win the Big 12 next year. They've been one of the best schools in the Pac-12. Yeah. Another one would be, I mean, UCF is working their way up. But there are certain schools who are like kind of newly P5 or like afterthoughts who were afterthoughts in the P5 who sort of just like worked their way up through the system, and that's going to get fucked where there's going to be now a like concrete floor that no one's able to move up through and become better. Well, Utah is like the best example of that.
And it's going to be doubled down on because of the consolidation of conferences anyways in P5.
Oh, right. TCU being another one. TCU, I know they got fucking butt fucked, but they were in the Natty last year.
Mm. Right.
They were a G5 team a decade ago
or
12, 13 years ago. What, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to lose that. Like they earned their right to be a P5 team.
Wait, where was Missouri before they were in the
SEC? Oh, we've been a power conference team the whole time. The Big 12.
Big 12, yeah. And then they moved to the SEC. Because right now the schedule for next year, in case you're looking at next year's plans, ends January 20th. That's when the national championship is next year. You're bumping up against the fucking Super Bowl at that point and that's the NFL playoffs.
That's the second round of the NFL playoffs.
Fuck yeah. I don't want to mix and match those. I mean, it's great. I guess you'll have Saturday and Sunday, but the NFL's already doing that.
Well, it'll be Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Right, but that's what the NFL's already doing now.
Yeah.
So this week, and we'll get to that after the ads here, you've got a Saturday slate, a Sunday slate, and now you have a Monday night game in the playoffs where the NFL's trying to take up every goddamn date they could. If they could put a game on Thursday night this week, they would.
Yeah.
So
they'd go a short week if they could, absolutely.
Fuck yeah. And I don't know that we're that far away from that.
I really do just feel bad for the kids. Because they're going to have to play so many fucking games.
How do you go pro, stay healthy, when no one in the NFL stay healthy right now?
Look at it this way, in terms of like getting them to play games. A lot of them are making more money in college than some of the pros are. Like Brock Purdy makes $800,000 a year right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody, McCord probably made more money than
But here's the other part is, and that's the discussion with the Justin Fields sitch at Michigan is... Do you draft a rookie quarterback there so he's on a rookie deal?
Because
Fields will be getting $40 million next year, whatever it is. Or do you make a Brock Purdy, you know, a Caleb Williams or somebody like that where you're like, great, man.
But
it only eats up $8 million in salary cap.
Yeah, but that's – well, in salary cap, yeah. But total salary, not so much. If you're a first round – if you're a lottery pick, you still get paid pretty well.
You get 45. Mm. So if you're – I think the first pick in the draft got about $45 million last year. Which,
yeah, there's tiers to it now.
But that's a year for a Josh Allen or a Pat Mahomes versus a five-year contract where you're like, all right, well, fuck.
Yeah.
This kind of rocks. So
what do you think the quarterback position is going to start being treated? I said this a month and a half ago. The quarterback position in the NFL may start being treated, at least by the mid to lower level teams, the same way that the running back position is treated. Because Tom Brady is kind of a standout when it comes to quarterbacks being the main reason that somebody wins a title,
uh-huh.
like Mahomes maybe as well to some degree.
There was a stretch in the sort of right before 2000s? Brady started yep. and during Brady where there were more than a few teams
Tampa,
that won with
Baltimore.
Shitty quarterbacks.
But yeah, the 90s were dominated by quarterbacks, right?
Yes.
It was fucking
in the 80s.
Aikman and then fucking Elway.
80s and 90s was all
Montana
quarterback.
Before that and Steve Young, right? Yep. But then all of a sudden when defenses – I think it's just there's more athletic people on the field now.
But how do you translate that then to the college game to get these kids to play 17 games a year, keep them interested in the playoffs – this transfer portal thing is a fuck.
And how does that work around their academic requirement? I know it's kind of a joke, but how does that even work? It's not about performance or any of that shit or how, oh, they got to go study. It's about like they do actually have to attend some classes at some point.
Right. Well, now they can do them all
online. How do you even fit that in? Yeah, I mean, it's going to be all online.
Which, they do. Who's the LSU chick, Livy Dunn?
Yeah,
her and Angel Reese don't take any classes in person because they're so
famous.
Angel
Reese is probably not allowed in the classroom.
No, not at all. But that was the this comment came in right before we went on air from my friends of like, hey, we're no longer talking about school anymore or classes or anything else for these fucking guys. That kid from Ole Miss is at Ohio State right now. He's at Woody Hayes Center walking around the whole thing, and it's just like, bro, are we not in school anymore?
I mean, first off, what do you think the percentage of these kids on these teams? What is the percentage of these players that end up working in football as a profession?
Not just players, but like coaches staff.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You start out as a player on a college team.
Quite a few problems.
So they're already in school as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should literally get college credit for playing on the teams. It shouldn't be your whole thing, obviously.
I agree.
But
film study.
You get
take an extra hour of film study and
that should get credit for that.
What do you need? Was it 120? 120
yes.
credits
yes.
for uh-huh. a fucking bachelor's degree? When we get out of the military and we translate our military service into academic stuff, we get about 45 to 50 credit hours from that. Right? From physical training, from leadership, blah, 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 all this nonsense. Makes sense that the players on a team who are operating in a paramilitary environment, call it what you want, but it's a fucking paramilitary environment.
Yeah.
Right? It seems like...
Who then go to work in that industry.
By the way, it is a fucking job, dude. When you get recruited to these big schools like this and you walk through the days, it is a goddamn 24-hour
even the summer,
job, dude.
Like this summer, you're doing 2-a-days all fucking summer and shit?
At Ohio State, they told me, they look, after the bowl games are over, you get 8 days off. That's it. The rest of the year, you're in the weight room, you're in the classroom, and you're that's it. And you're like, holy shit, dude, you live here.
By the way, according to people I know who work in football now, the transfer portal has completely nuked any days off.
I'm sure.
For the staff.
Oh, the staff is fucked.
Yeah.
They'd open up today for that running back for Ole Miss.
Yeah. Like
he's there.
There's no vacation.
They'd open up the whole goddamn building and the facility today for that kid and put on all the things for their goddamn NFL free agency to start. Craigers is saying, the kids should shut the fuck up and play. Look, man, I know you went to Iowa, and I'll bring up Wisconsin in this. When you have a school like Wisconsin, who is terrible this year, they're 7-5, mm-hmm. and 11 starters sit out the bowl game for Wisconsin, for Christ's sakes?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
You've got a goddamn problem across the board here.
So, yeah, and I, like, don't, I don't expect people to put their bodies on the line for 3 to 4 5 years. Now it's 5 actually, mm-hmm. right? 5 6 if it's a Kobe year, but that'll be done soon. But 5 years you're looking at putting your body on the line for 5 consecutive years. That's a lot of fucking stress to not get compensated for it, to be honest.
It is.
A fucking college degree, which is, I think most people that are listening to our show would agree, is not unless you're a fucking scientist or a doctor or some shit, who fucking cares?
Who cares
about that nonsense? As a matter of fact, it was announced recently that 50% of corporations in America are removing the 4-year college requirement from their fucking job requirements.
I get it. And like for me personally, out of my friend group,
what I'm saying is,
actually used our degrees and did.
Yeah, I've never used any of my goddamn degrees ever for anything. It's fucking stupid. I got 4 of them. What in religion fucking cares? You know what I mean? But the point of that is there's no value in that shit. Not enough to fucking have somebody pound the dirt for 5 fucking years for a fucking education that, let's be real, it might cost 80 to 120 grand, but it's worth like fucking 25 grand maybe.
Yeah.
To be honest, it's like, fuck that. I wouldn't do that.
It becomes, with the exception of a couple professions, it becomes totally irrelevant after like
You're a scientist jobs. Or a lawyer or a fucking doctor or some shit, who fucking cares?
After you like have 2-3 jobs in the real world, your college degree becomes completely pointless.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the problem with this is, because there were some other people in the chat, even on tonight's game, they're like, well, is every team going to go after like a fifth-year quarterback now with this?
Yes.
Ohio State sitch, Washington, fucking Georgia, everyone else to have a 25-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, why not? Stetson Bennett, why not?
Michael
Penix. I mean, I know they didn't recruit him. He was there the whole time, but yeah, why not?
I mean, I'll give Penix a little credit. Like, he needed to keep playing.
Because he kept blowing out ACLs.
Right, so he was never going to be a draft pick unless he had like 1 or 2 good years to show who he was.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of these guys, like Stetson Bennett, I think, like, he didn't even graduate. He'd been there for like 7 years. Like, he just wanted to fuck around.
He had a couple more classes left to graduate. Instead, he did like a victory tour in Texas and got DUIs and shit. But like we saw this happen with basketball, though, when the fucking one-and-done shit started.
Yeah.
It regulated itself after some amount of time.
It did, but college basketball sucked for a while of it, and it was not fun to watch. Right now, these bowl games were not fun to watch, except for the CFP games. Mm-hmm. Both of those games were a blast, but you had all the fucking starters play for the first time.
They were really, really good bowl games this year, in the lower tiers.
Who were they,
I don't even remember off the top of my head, but I had a lot of fun watching a lot of bowl games.
So the only one that I... Because most of them were blowouts. The only one that I watched that was relatively close was LSU played somebody. But again, they had their fucking backup quarterback in versus somebody else's backup. So, like, I just can't get down on it. I don't blame Jaden Daniels for sitting out. I want to draft him. I want him on my I want him on the Falcons. So, like, I understand all of it and the money aspect. I just don't know how to change it without doing less games, but the schools are so fucking greedy. And on our side over the break, and we can share with you on this for Hard AF Seltzer, we've been involved deeply with massive universities for NIL for Hard AF Seltzer. We've gotten all the inside shit on all of this. It's getting worse and worse and worse, and I don't know how it corrects itself unless these kids unionize.
Basketball corrected itself by the traditional blue bloods fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And teams that strategize for the new environment started to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't – it's always been – it's a fucking single elimination tournament, so you never really know what's going to happen. But when you see, like, Duke and UNC being more or less irrelevant in college basketball after fucking 30 years of definitely not being irrelevant, it's like, all right, cool. Well, are you going to change?
Yeah.
Dudes just building, like, essentially veteran teams.
Yeah.
This 18-year-old is fucking incredible, but I bet – a team of 23-year-olds could beat them.
It's like Moneyball. It's Moneyball, man. Yeah. Like Princeton and Princeton and Villanova, and a couple other schools used to do this back in the day just to be competitive because they were smaller schools. Oakland baseball teams did Moneyball or whatever the fuck. Now you're seeing the rise again in college basketball of the, I guess, mid-tier teams being super competitive every single year.
FAU had a fucking blast of a game over the holidays.
Gonzaga, though, has been up and down over the last 25 years or so, but like they've never been. Every new college basketball season, I expect Gonzaga to be in the top 10, top 15 right? Not because they recruit well, although they do get good recruits, but it's because of the style. They fucking hang on to players for longer. Drew Temme, even Chet Holmgren stayed there. For longer than probably he needed to be honest.
How long was Big Chet there?
He was only there 1 year, actually.
Is he still? Oh, no, I thought he was there 3 years.
No, he was there 1 year. Timmy was there.
They all look identical.
Timmy was there for a decade.
No, Chet was there for, he's one and done.
Yeah. All those guys, though, to be fair, all those white guys.
I'm thinking of the black kid that got drafted. The
Jalen Suggs.
Yeah.
He was there more than 1 year.
2 years, I believe.
He came back.
Yeah.
He came back. But
Chet couldn't be denied.
The only, I think the listeners have it correct if you pair all these things together. That's the only way to do it. But the greed element of this is, look,
the thing too is you can't take away home games because then, honestly, it's really crazy, but like you're kind of fucking over the working man.
Yeah.
Those are huge for college towns.
Sure is.
That is an amount of revenue flow for bars, restaurants, hotels.
I mean, like everything. Alabama at North Alabama, right?
Yeah.
you take that game away and that city probably collapses. Like an an old coal town or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's bleak. Fuck, man. Because the greed takes over. And if you're looking at the ratings for these games, dude, it's just... That Ohio State-Michigan was the highest in fucking 19 years of 23 fucking million people. It's only going to incentivize college football and the greed behind it to grow and grow and grow. This train has fucking left the station and it's out of control. I just don't know how you hope rein it in.
Salvages it in some way. Because it is out of control.
The kids would have to unionize. You'd have to have a president. And it would have to be a league.
Something will happen. Because at the end of the day, results are what matter, right? If teams like Ohio State has been a dud for a while now. They've had a lot of good recruits and a lot of opportunity to win natties, and they've pissed it away for, 10 years now, basically?
They could have easily won five times in the last 10 years.
They've pissed it away.
With the talent,
And so Michigan pissed it away multiple times over the past fucking 10 years. Alabama's won a bunch, so we don't give them shit for it, but they've had, like you say all the time, it's when you don't expect Nick Saban to win is when he actually wins the title. At some point, people are going to get fucking pissed off. The boosters or the player, they're going to start losing recruits or something, right? Like, how long is it going to take? How many years in a row is it going to take for Ohio State to piss it away every fucking year?
Well,
before people start, like, fuck, I'm not going to Ohio State.
We can put Ohio State front and center because they've been the most active in the transfer portal this year, and they're buying up everybody. Yeah. That Judkins kid from Ole Miss is going to sign. It's going to fuck over the younger kids, and that sucks. But that's probably what this is now. And if you're looking at a Will Howard, who's fourth or fifth year? This is his last year, right?
I don't know what his eligibility is, but he's definitely an upperclassman.
But this is exactly identical.
He's a senior.
Okay.
But it's identical to what they tried to do last year with Drake May, where they backed up the truck and said, hey, come play here. It'll improve your draft stock. With Will Howard now throwing to the best wide receivers in the nation, it's going to make him look like a goddamn superstar.
Definitely a better
Where'd J.J. McCarthy come from?
He's a recruit.
Where'd Stetson Bennett come from?
Kind of a recruit.
Was he a walk-on? Yeah, I think he was a walk-on, right?
Walk-on, yeah.
I mean, but he's homegrown.
What about Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence was the number one recruit in the nation. And then in front of Justin Fields.
About Tua?
Recruit.
You see where I'm going with that? One transfer quarterback has won the fucking natty.
We'll find out tonight. This will be the first time. In the new era, though, this could be
that's not true. Joe Burrow.
Oh, that's right. But Burrow didn't transfer because he was hurt, so he had to leave, right?
Right.
Somebody else took his spot.
He wasn't going to play.
Haskins. Burrow was the only transfer quarterback to ever win a natty, and that was the best offense in the history of college football.
Yes.
Right?
But they gave him a year to grow
because
he had a shitty...
Yeah, he was bad. We watched that game at Alabama LSU was 27-0 or 29-0 or some shit.
You and I were there, yeah.
Yeah, they got fucking annihilated.
So
only one time has it happened, and if it doesn't,
if
Michigan wins,
no, then you're right because he was a recruit. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go to Ohio State, and
so go buy up all your players. Like how many players did Michigan go out and buy in the offseason? Blake Corm's a recruit too.
None.
So
they don't have the money to do
recruiting. They have the money. Michigan boosters have the money. Recruiting fucking matters. It's not just about everybody's leaning on the portal. It will only get you so far. I think that is going to be what regulates the market is because you can't have success.
I think
one and done with a football team, one and done with a basketball team is difficult enough, but that's five dudes on a court. Having a 53-man roster of dudes where 20% are one and done dudes who don't have year over year chemistry together.
Right.
You're not going to have persistent success like that.
I agree.
I mean, I think the best way to use the transfer portal is plug gaps, plug holes, right? If you have a whole quarterback, by all means, go get a fucking quarterback.
A lot of people are using it that way on the lower end, but man, it's been these last few years especially, Notre Dame, Ohio State, big fucking blue blood universities have been like, you know, fuck what we've been really good at,
right,
which is recruiting for the last 60 fucking years. We're gonna go get one off the shelf.
QB like, dude, shopping, yeah.
That doesn't work. It doesn't, like history shows it doesn't work.
BT Bates in the chat said Harbaugh told his Stanford players to unionize. Look,
That's true.
It's probably the only way out of this in case you get hurt or whatever the case may be. But if Penix wins tonight, Burrow, and then we'll see what happens next year with Will Howard over there at Ohio State. I mean, fuck, who knows?
I mean, my question is, like, with the NIL, like, I guess I don't really understand what the ROI is on for the boosters other than like pride?
Businesses. That's it. Well, so a lot of them we've talked to. I won't say which schools. The restaurateurs are, in the areas are usually on these calls because it more business for them. A better product on the field. Like going back to what Dan said, brings more people to the stadium, tailgating, everything else, bars, restaurants, everything else if your team is great. If you can't get into the game, tonight's prices are $1,200 for the last row in the stadium tonight. So a lot of people are going to be at bars and restaurants here. That's the incentive, and that's where a lot of that money's coming from, NIL-wise.
I think it's as simple as people just wanting to go, hey, see that kid right there?
I bought him.
He's here because of me.
Yep.
Well, that reminds that's you've seen that South Park episode, the crack baby thing?
Yeah.
Where he was like, oh, student athletes. Yeah, they're slaves. They were slaves for a very long time. That was the big gripe. College football was making like $15 billion a year or something like that.
Who was the biggest booster? Was Pickens?
T. Boone Pickens at Oklahoma State.
That's it, dude. Yeah. And that was the same. That voice that Delco just did, that's who he was. And he would do that every fucking game.
Oh, yeah.
He would tell you, well, I bought those kids. You know, I bought them.
I'll
pay
for them.
I think Marge Schott had something to say about that back in the day, too.
I know. Mm-hmm. She sure did.
She called Deion Sanders her $1 million N-word.
Oh, yeah.
And then she got banned from baseball.
Naysayers. It's all those naysayers out there, dude, which is one of the greatest. We'll get to the sponsors real quick, and then we'll hop into the NFL and the rest of it here, because there's some crazy games. If you believe that the NFL is scripted, you will definitely believe it after these fucking matchups this weekend, because it's a goddamn blast across the board. First and foremost, though, mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. I not only want to shout them out today for the cash out option, which I talked about at the beginning of the show, which allowed me to place this bet on Washington tonight. Could I regret it later? Sure. But that's what gambling is. It's a lot of fun. A lot about living and a little about love there. Like Alan Jackson used to say, but they also have a weird thing on there where because they're not in the United States and they're not a fucking DraftKings or anything else, some of these games, a lot of them, I would say 80% of the games, if you click the score while you're on MyBookie, the game will come on full screen. So like everybody's bitching about where to find the apps and everything else. The beauty of being in another country, wink.
There are no laws in Antigua.
Sure isn't. So there was one
or
game.
Or Somalia. My VPN says I'm from fucking Somalia.
It sure does.
Which is why the FBI keeps showing up to my house. Because I keep buying pressure cookers on the internet.
But with that, let's say Saturday, for example. You're at home. You want to watch the NFL games. And some of them are on Peacock. A lot of people are bitching saying, I don't want to pay for it on Peacock.
Yep.
There's a real good goddamn chance you could just click it on mybookie.com and watch it if you want to. But you didn't hear that from me. In the meantime, best parlays, best teasers across the board. Gigantic fan of them. Our contract is up with those guys, I think, after March Madness is over. And the way that they've improved year by year, I honestly just want to stay with these guys. So hopefully shit works out. But regardless, big fan of those guys and that site, man, and everything they're doing over there. So bet on tonight's game, mybookie.com, promo code DRINKINBROS, double that first deposits. Tons of NFL to bet on, college championship tonight. It's all great. If you want tickets to any of this, including you Cowboys fans out there, congratulations. You're more than likely getting two home games in the playoffs there. We got them for sale. Everything that you can imagine is on drinkingbrostickets.com, and you can go to all this stuff across the board. Concerts, rodeos, doesn't really matter over there. And if you are going to the games this weekend, Hard AF Seltzer. Is now in 1,300 locations. Texas just opened up. Bob, didn't you buy it in Dallas?
Yes, I bought it at one of the Total Wines in Plano.
Plano, okay, cool. So we're slowly moving throughout Texas there. We're in HEB. A lot of people are asking, it's the fucking best grocery store in the United States. What are we in, 12 of those right now as a test run?
Yeah.
And then they'll expand after that. Been sold out everywhere. Go to hardafseltzer.com. Today, click on the store locator there. All you got to do is enter your city or zip, and it'll bring you to the closest location there. A lot of these new stores that just open up, though, usually don't get added for 30 days. It's like Texas isn't in there. Some of those stores in North Carolina is in there. But we are at every single Total Wines in the Southeast. We're at the Piggly Wigglies. We're at the HEBs here in Texas. Piggly Wigglies in Alabama and all that stuff. Georgia, we are everywhere. Atlanta missed out on the playoffs, but Tampa Bay did not. So let's say you're going to a Buccaneers against the Eagles this weekend. Hit up that Total Wines down there in St. Pete, and you're good to go.
And if you need something to wear, you can go to drinkingbros.com.
Yeah.
Because the site, the merch site is live. It's again. Live. It, we're live. Slow rolling it a little bit. But what we're going to do is we're going to launch a new shirt every Monday for the next, until the end of this month, basically. Delco, do you want to go to drinkingbros.com, please?
Oh, man, we're fucking him here today. Because
Yeah, he's doing two jobs, Dave, but it's fine.
Because Joel decided to try to fly back the day before he was scheduled for work.
Well, it's not like airlines have a history of, you know, canceling flights and such.
Joel's really fucking dumb, and I can just say that out loud. He would agree with it. It's fine. Look, it's helpful to know what you are in this life, and then that way you can kind of move on.
Click that middle blue one right there.
That middle blue one is the new one there.
This is our new shirt.
These colors don't run, and it's obviously the wheelchair sign there. So I just bought mine last night. I didn't know when they would sell out. I knew this would be fast, but holy shit, man. Yeah. I got mine as quickly as possible there. Every Monday, we would be dropping new shirts on drinkingbros.com. The store is open. You can go and buy stuff there now. We'll also be putting some Hard AF Seltzer merch in there pretty soon. Last but not least, we got lucy.co/drinkingbros. Going to be using that promo code drinkingbros to get 20% off your first order over there. What is Lucy? Lucy makes tobacco-free nicotine for people to focus better, think deeper, chill out smoother, and inspire creativity here. Lucy's always around the sets. Over here on all of our shows, and everybody steals it. So it must be fucking great. What do you use it for? Well, you can increase your alertness, your attention, your mood. You can focus better. Fucking my wife was taking this the other day. Jesse popped one of these in. I was like, what are you in West Virginia? She's like, nah, man, all the fucking moms are taking this for a little pop in the afternoon. I get it. Lucy, super unique. It's 100% pure tobacco-free nicotine. You'll never find tobacco in any of their products ever. Lucy pouches are available in five different strengths. So anywhere from 2 milligrams to 12 milligrams. They got 12 different flavors over there. They got cinnamon, mints, mango, wintergreen, pomegranates, apple ice espresso over there, and you can just pop it in to start your fucking day over there. The flavors are long lasting. Lucy's got the breakers, the pouches, like I was talking about earlier, the gum, all that stuff. It's the perfect balance of nicotine and flavor. So whether you use nicotine to focus better, get an energy boost in, just fucking chill, bro. Lucy is made for your nicotine routine over there. And all you got to do is go to lucy.co/drinkingbros today for 20% off. That is lucy.co/drinkingbros. I'll spell it for you, you dummies. lucy.co/drinkingbros over there. Use that promo code drinkingbros for 20% off over at lucy.co/drinkingbros. That 20% off, by the way, it's on the first order only. It's load up, okay? You know what to do over there. Let's hop on over to the NFL, shall we?
Do we have to?
We do. We sure fucking do, Delco.
Why did something happen?
Something happened in Philly? How's Herschel doing? Let's start off with the Eagles first and foremost here. The injury to Hurts looks bad. I don't know how he's going to be able to grip or throw the ball. Does he even play? What happened to A.J. Brown? He's got a knee injury.
Well, he came back. Hurts came back and played in that game.
He did, and then they yanked him real quick. They got him the fuck out of there. Now, I know Dallas was up, and they were kind of watching. Sirianni said they were watching the Dallas score at halftime. What's the real problem with the Eagles? Because I don't – obviously, it's your favorite team, and I don't follow them as closely as you do. What's the real problem up there?
There's clearly a rift in the locker room. I don't know who decided to let Matt Patricia in 2024 call any type of unit, but he is now our defense coordinator, and he is. I think we have the worst defense in the NFL at this point.
It's either worst or second worst.
Yep, people are just torching us,
especially in the secondary. You're getting fucking hammered in the secondary.
They can run on us too. Brian Johnson has no creativity, zero motion. We
are just super easy to figure out on offense. The whole team's a mess. It's not good. Gotta say, not good.
Yeah, but all the pieces are there, right? Now, Jalen Hurts has been injured most of the year, or hurt, maybe, if you want to parse
since
or split hairs there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been fucking banged up most of the year. But they have all the talent in the world over there. This is an organizational issue. Doug Peterson should still be the coach in Philly. That was fucking retarded.
Well, although he's not looking so green either.
Doug Peterson should probably be fired for the job he just did in Jacksonville.
I think that's Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is a loser.
We'll get to it. Yeah, because I want to talk about it. But with the Eagles, do they win against the Buccaneers? Because the Buccaneers are fucking terrible.
Yeah, they'll win.
I just watched a 9-0 game because the Falcons had an outside shot yesterday at getting
I can't fucking wait to win a Monday night wild card game to
have Baker Mayfield.
To have a short week against the Niners. Thank you. Like, awesome, NFL. Thanks for putting us on Monday night on a fucking playoffs.
You don't just walk into Raymond James Stadium with Baker Mayfield lining up on the other side of the ball and think you're going to win.
My God, dude. Are they going to pay that guy? Yeah, you do. You know, I'm betting all my money on that.
I wouldn't do it.
I'm going to.
The worst thing that happened to the fucking Buccaneers this year is making the fucking playoffs, because they're not going to get a draft a quarterback now, I guess, right?
I think they might pay Baker. I wouldn't do it, but hey, everybody else is talking about it. I've heard the numbers and all that shit. Save it. Sign him if you love him.
You give Baker $25 million a year, I think you do it.
What?
Yeah. Instead of like having to pay some asshole $40 million?
No, and say, like, draft a quarterback.
Yeah, but where Tampa's going to be, though, they're not going to be able to get any one of those guys.
They could trade up, I'm sure. I don't know what. But
I mean, we're talking
sign Baker and trade in.
There's five. There's like minimum five quarterbacks with first round talent.
Yeah.
This year.
Oh yeah. It's loaded.
Maybe, especially they could get a QB.
I want Jaden Daniels down in Atlanta. I don't know how that happens, but yeah.
Well, the Eagles look like. Their only job, it didn't matter if they won this game or not necessarily. I think because the Cowboys won, it would have been null for them either way. They still would have been a wild card.
It was 24-0 at halftime.
Yeah. But it's like the purpose of this game was to tune up, to get out of your funk, get a couple of wins, have a couple of good series, score a couple of touchdowns, and then get your starters out. And who fucking cares what happens with the game?
Mm-hmm.
They could not have performed worse.
No. I mean, it was miserable. I think the only other worst performance was probably Jacksonville. Because Jacksonville, what's the excuse there? Like, you had to win to get in.
Well, I think
the Eagles could at least fucking walk away. After Dallas was winning, you're like, all right, fuck it.
I think the Dolphins were the worst performance.
Oh, my God.
But that's not surprising that they're soft. This went exactly how. Like, if you turn a guy over three times, which is, I mean, that's Josh Allen to a T, right? More turnovers than touchdowns.
He had two more picks last night.
And a fucking fumble.
Yeah.
It's like, if you turn a guy over three times and you still lose by a touchdown, you're fucked.
So bad.
You're fucked with. Now, Tyreek Hill is out for that last fucking couple of minutes there.
Yeah, but that's not the issue with this team. They didn't even score in the second half.
No.
They didn't score in the second half. They should have lost by like three or four scores.
They're a soft ass team. They're good, but they're just fucking bitches.
Yeah. They need a fucking if Von Miller is up, if he comes back healthy and he's not under contract with the Bills next year, that you got to get a guy like that, a culture dude, bring him in, do whatever you got to do, pay whatever you got to pay to get one psycho defender to come in and get everybody fucking hard again, because they're soft as fucking
idiots. Yeah, they got to have a leader on that team, and I think
because they've got really good defensive players, man.
They got great offensive players. They have the talent.
They should be fun.
I like the coach.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
They should be fun. What is has the line?
Need
come
a veteran
out?
In there.
Has the line come out yet for Chiefs Dolphins?
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get to that in a second here.
Because it's going to be -2 degrees in Kansas City.
Oh, 100%, which is a fucking blast.
Well, Tua doesn't care. He's from Hawaii. That snows all the time there, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't give a shit. But we'll go through the rest of this here real quick. Cowboys fucking rolled. The amount of Cowboys fans that have hit me up after this, how about them boys? The boys are exactly where we want them to be. I want them to win the first two home playoff games there, really get the hopes up, and then lose at San Francisco to go to the Super Bowl.
Cowboys are going to be playing in February.
Come on, man. Is that real, Bob?
There's a very specific scenario that's going to play out.
Okay.
Dude, they're losing to the Packers.
That's always a possibility.
They're not going to lose the Packers. But
the Rams are going to upset the Lions, move to the second round, beat the Niners. Cowboys are going to cruise through, beat the Rams. And we're going to see them in the Super Bowl.
My God, dude. There's no way. There's no way. But we'll get to the playoffs here. Jacksonville couldn't fucking win. Minshew did all he could for the Colts. That kid dropping the ball. My God, dude. And then after the game saying this play doesn't define me.
It was a terrible throw.
It was fine enough for a professional player.
I mean, he should have caught it, but that was a terrible
throw. He didn't do many favors.
Minshew is mostly responsible for that.
No.
Yes.
He should have caught that. He was fucking...
He threw the ball 2 yards behind him.
If it hits your hands, that's it.
No.
Honestly, if he catches... I forget where the defenders were, but it would have been such an awkward catch that it would have totally taken his momentum away from the run that he might have got caught behind the line of scrimmage anyway.
There was nobody there. Nobody there, bum.
Bad throw.
Nobody there.
Really bad throw.
Minshew was amazing in that game, but... they're gone as well, and we'll get to next week's playoffs here. Again, if you believe in the scripts.
Well, wait, before we move on to next week's playoffs, your guy finally got fired, so that's nice.
Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 12:01, yeah. I had a tweet yesterday after the Falcons game ended saying, if they don't fire this motherfucker at 12:01 tonight, I'm waiting for this to drop like the fucking Kanye album. I was up. He got fired at 12:01. It was one of those magical tweets that will live in infamy for me, and I did it. I'm going to feel like I did it. So fuck Arthur Smith. Rivera's out of there. Today is Black Monday here.
He hasn't been fired yet.
He's gone.
Did he get fired?
Sure did.
I didn't see
Ron
that. Rivera fired ex-GMs to lead Washington overhaul. So he's gone here.
What does that mean for Bieniemy?
Promotion?
Promotion, maybe? What do you do there? Did he get the job?
He's never gotten a shot before.
His offense was equally as bad as the Redskins' offense the year before.
I think the Commanders, by the way, the Commanders next year, dude, they have $85 million in cap open. They got draft picks. They got all the things there. I think they'll turn this around quick. This is the same guys that were running Golden State, Warriors and those guys. They don't fuck around. They will turn this team around really goddamn quickly. So Rivera's out of there. Arthur Smith is out of there. Who else is gone? Today, Wink Martindale just resigned as the Giants defensive coordinator. Belichick is still under contract, although he says he's open to changes, which means they will probably trade him.
Yeah,
he'll get a first round pick to the Chargers.
The changes that that the organization wanted allegedly was to bring in a GM.
They're tired of his team
building. I don't think that is a change that he is going to be okay with.
No.
He's never had a GM.
No.
Since he was with, what, the fucking Jets or some shit back in the day?
He was a DC with the Jets. I mean, he was a head coach with the Browns.
The Browns, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the last time he had a fucking general manager. There's no fucking way that he accepts that.
I agree. But again, we'll get to the playoffs here for next week. Going back to that script, if you believe in it, here it is. Browns against the Texans here. Sean Watson.
He's got to go back to Houston. So that's a problematic environment for him. That's like a crackhead, you know, that's going back to hang out with his crackhead friends.
Yeah, you don't take him back to the trap house.
Yeah, no, he may not even make it to the game.
My God, man, what a fucking crazy story. CJ Stroud going 10-7. To me, that was the worst team ever. None of us, going back to that prediction show, had this team in the playoffs or anything this year. Like,
they're going to have another top fucking five guy draft pick.
The MVP. Are they really?
No, I said I thought they were.
Oh, yeah, so did I.
Like, I thought they were going to be horrible.
But there they are. So, like, hey, dude, this is your chance to show out there and say, fuck you, and we made the right move. Dolphins, Chiefs. My God, Tyreek Hill.
Coming back,
dude, to the Chiefs Stadium. Because if you remember, yes, they played this year, but it was over in fucking Germany, so nobody got to enjoy that.
No.
Now they will.
Yeah.
Now they will.
And this is not the this is a very beatable Chiefs team.
Oh, yeah.
Even at home, they were 5-4 at fucking in Kansas City this year.
There's only one line that's in double digits here this week, and it's the Steelers versus the Bills. That's -10 for Buffalo. It's a lot of fucking points.
It is, but I think TJ Watt's going to be out.
Oh, yeah.
He looks fucked. So.
Plus, I mean, the Bills have a really good fucking defense, and the Steelers can't score. So,
yeah. Although the Steelers are good at creating turnovers, and Josh Allen is really good at
18 interceptions is what he had on the air.
That's just the interceptions.
I know.
But wait, there's more.
The fumbles. How many fumbles did he lose this year?
Hold on. Let me check here. He lost three.
It don't matter. Bills are winning the AFC.
I already sprinkled 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Josh, in 6 years, it was 18-1. In 6 years in the NFL, Josh Allen's lost 14 fumbles.
Yep. Don't when you run that much,
don't fumble the ball.
It's bound to happen. I agree. Packers, Cowboys, McCarthy going against the Packers over there. That's a fucking blast of a game. Looking forward to that. Jordan Love, man. Gave this kid some time, and it looks like it's worked out for these guys because they still don't have any receivers or fucking anything.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones is playing out of his mind, which he always has, so it's not new. And maybe that time off for the injury did him some good because he looked amazing yesterday. Rams against the Lions in the night game. Let's fucking go. Stafford going back to Detroit. How do you script that any better?
I mean, that's a fucking nightmare for not, Detroit.
That's only nightmare. That's only one direction. Also, Goff the opportunity to get a little payback.
Yeah. Right?
Fuck yeah.
From his old organization.
That's what's the nightmare for Detroit for me.
And that's the night game. That's the night game. Yeah. So, like, everybody in the fucking goddamn nation is going to be watching that on Sunday nights. And then Monday, you got the Eagles, who have just fallen off the face of the earth against the Buccaneers here. What did Baker end up with this year? 4,000 yards passing, 28 touchdowns.
That's about as good as his rookie year. 10
interceptions. Sure.
Actually, a little bit better than his rookie year. This is the best year of his career.
Oh, easily. Easily. But he also has got the best wide receivers down there. So, look, good for him and being able to turn around. He's probably going to get a big paycheck. Don't know who wants to do that, but if you're going to have fun with it. Do the Eagles win this game for real? Delco?
You know, I'll probably be busy watching Villanova Marquette. A couple good college basketball games.
You going to check out of that one? Smart.
I'm checked out.
Yeah, you're gone.
I'm done.
AJ and Sidney Brown are likely not playing, right? So, big piece of the secondary
and their
best receiver. Yeah, I think he's banged up.
You know, I saw it was a knee injury, but they didn't say what it was yet. So, look, it's going to be crazy. If you're Hurts, I don't know how you grip the ball with that dislocated finger there. That looks nasty.
Reach down and grab yourself by the beanbag and be a fucking man. That's how you do it.
Well, he's going to have to run the ball.
Just get a cortisol shot. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Don't feel anything.
Cortisone, not cortisol. That'd be weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't get stress hormones shot into your body.
A.J. Brown would be a huge loss. Are they saying if he's going to be out?
He's listed as questionable. So are Sidney Brown, Devonta Smith, Darius Slay, and Jalen Hurts. All listed as questionable.
So they're saying it isn't believed to be serious. They think Brown will play. All right. We'll obviously cover that on the NFL show this week here. Jameis Winston, though, was the superstar of the weekend for me. That was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
That man should be interviewed after every possession.
He's going to have a podcast bigger than this one in about an hour.
Yeah.
Because he won't be playing for the Saints anymore. There's no way that you can keep him after defying the coach and then doing a press conference afterwards saying it was a team decision. I apologize to the coach, but it's a team decision to go against your head coach.
Not only does the organization have to get rid of Jameis Winston, they have to fire that coach.
Who has no control over the team?
If that happens, you're done, dude.
Or does it ride forever for his guys? Yeah. How are you going to have your coaches back if he doesn't have?
Seriously, it's like if somebody does something that dumb, you just say you never fucking sell your players out ever. As a leader, you take responsibility. Like, you know what? Maybe there was some confusion on that play, and I didn't do the right thing. You, as a leader, you always take the blame. Always.
Well, the problem
was,
you
give everybody else credit, and you take the fucking blame.
The problem was they got to Jameis first, so like you didn't know what he was gonna say, and he was live on I think it was 36 in Atlanta there because they were playing the Falcons. I mean, they went right to him because it started. I mean, it was immediate where everybody was like, "Oh shit, did Jameis go rogue?" Like, because that's what we all thought.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and then it was confirmed immediately after that. Holy shit, dude. I don't think I've ever seen a player defy a coach like that.
And not in the NFL, dude.
In the NFL?
Which he's probably mad that he didn't fucking play all year when he's clearly better than Derek Carr. Derek Carr sucks at football. Jameis might throw fucking 25 or 30 picks, but he's going to throw 30 or 40 touchdowns.
Gunslinger. Perusing stats last night randomly, as I'm wont to do from time to time, and I think Derek Carr is currently 20th all time in NFL passing yards.
Oh yeah,
if you play for 90 years in the That's modern era, you're going to pass a lot of people.
Yep,
but he sucks. He's terrible.
And then the one thing I don't want to hear from Steelers fans anymore is a bunch of Steelers fans is saying fire Tomlin. Why? He got you guys to the playoffs yet again with a fucking dog shit.
Nothing, yeah.
I mean, dog shit on that. He can't draft the quarterbacks.
Fire Tomlin.
I'll take him.
You don't deserve it.
No, you really don't.
If you're talking
don't.
Shit about, of all the people in that organization to be fucking talking shit about, he's the last motherfucker that you should be talking shit about.
Yeah.
He's the only reason they fucking exist as a franchise right now.
It's absolutely crazy. But these games this weekend are a fucking blast. And holy shit, man. Every single one of these games I watch for an entirely different reason. And it's amazing the way this all worked out.
We ready for Joe Flacco to leave the Browns to the Super Bowl?
Nothing would make me happier. I hit up one of my buddies, Phil Cease, who went viral for the Johnny Manziel draft when he fucking started crying in that bar, tore off his jersey and shit. I hit him up and I said,
He also in Miami fucking fell asleep outside of the fucking stadium with his legs hanging out of the bushes.
Yeah, the bushes, yeah.
Yep, remember
blacked
that.
Out. Yeah, that's same guy. Yeah. I hit him up and I said, because there's no bigger Browns fan on the face of the planet, and I said, this is the first year ever I'm rooting for the Browns to win the Super Bowl. It would be the most hilarious thing of all time if Flacco
I mean,
wins.
To be honest, if all this had played out identical, but Chubb had not gotten hurt, I would have the Browns as my favorite in the AFC.
They got a great defense.
I think with Chubb on the team, they're probably just a little bit above the Ravens.
Also, Stefanski's got to get some love for Coach of the Year as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, the two players on the team that are the best players on offense, both are gone, right? Allegedly. Mm-hmm. I guess Homeboy wasn't playing all that well, but Chubb fucking always does, right?
Yeah, he always does.
They lost your quarterback and your fucking best running back, and you still... You didn't eke your way into the playoffs either. They fucking made the playoffs.
No, and they made the right moves. They got Flacco. They picked up Kareem Hunt. I mean, they filled in the gaps there, and nobody else did.
Baltimore got fucked on this draw.
Oh, they got fucked.
Because they got to be praying to God that Miami beats Kansas City, which is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And then they got KC next.
No. The Baltimore would have Cleveland next.
Oh, Cleveland next, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a rivalry game in itself.
Yeah.
And then, boom. I mean, that's... It is, but it's fun.
So,
if you believe that Cleveland's getting out of this.
I do.
If Cleveland wins the Super Bowl, Joe Flacco's a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback.
With two different teams.
Hall of Fame.
Is he a Hall of Fame?
Yes.
There are no two-time Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that are not in the Hall of Fame, except for Eli, who's eligible soon.
That's just too funny.
Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Famer. Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame. You win two Super Bowls, you're a Hall of Fame. They have the numbers. Flacco has the numbers.
If you really look into it, he does. All-time
passing yards, only because he played for 19 years.
And in the modern era, like you guys were saying. I want to say, has any quarterback ever led two different teams to Super Bowl championships and but been like a good quarterback?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's the only one I can think of. Yeah, so he'd be the second one.
I don't think Montana made it with the Chiefs. They made the playoffs, but I don't think they made it. Was it 93 or 94 they made the playoffs?
They were up for the division. Remember, that was the last game, and to go to the Super Bowl, he was one throw away.
Was that Favre?
Was one throw away.
Was that 92? Was it the Bills they lost to? Who was it they lost to? The Chiefs.
Yes, it was the Bills.
Hmm.
Yeah. Favre was the same way. He was this close.
They were close. Yeah, with the Jets more than the.
No, with the Vikings.
No, it was the Vikings.
The Vikings.
One throw away, and that's right, fucking game, dude.
People didn't really change teams that much back in the day. So I don't. I think this would have to be a recent person, like the last 25 years or so.
Yeah.
It'd be a blast to see. Peyton never won in Indy, right?
Oh no, he won in Denver.
He won in Indy.
Yeah, he won in Indy.
Oh yeah. So Peyton Manning too.
So it'd be Peyton, Brady, and
I always forget about that
Flacco.
Team.
Yeah,
I always forget about that team because he played terrible in the season.
Oh yeah, he threw like 13 touchdowns.
He got benched for Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, he was a dead guy by then.
I know.
I still won.
He still won. He laughs about it.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty funny. To see
Flacco's
here.
Got 44,000 career passing yards, 245 touchdowns. That's how, if he wins another chip.
How many yards?
44,000.
You're in.
Mm-hmm.
That's top 20 of all time, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, easily.
He's in. Roethlisberger. All the Steelers fans too bitching about Roethlisberger was great. I had him on fantasy every year. God damn, that guy was fucking good.
It's just, you know. Like, in their defense, I will say that is like literally the greatest era of quarterbacks ever. So like, they had like what, the sixth best quarterback of that time period, maybe.
But he still got two Super Bowls.
Yeah,
I'd kill for one.
Yeah, Super I know.
Bowl.
I know.
I mean, I would kill someone for
you. Should kill Jamal Anderson.
It wasn't his fault. It was God. Who was the? He won Robinson was his name. He got arrested for banging that prostitute.
Oh, that's right. The night before the game.
Night before the Super Bowl.
You guys weren't beating the 98 Broncos.
The day before, by the way, he'd won the Man of the Year for the Humanitarian Award, and it was like, oh, my God. I mean, the whole fucking thing was a mess. I don't think we were beat the Broncos either.
The 28-3 is
the
one.
That's the one. And also that year was the Vikings. The Vikings should have gone in. That was the greatest Viking team ever.
Oh, with Moss and Carter.
And homeboy missed he missed a 30-yard field goal.
Yeah, that was
it was Anderson, and it was like he's one of the greatest kickers of all time.
Morton Anderson? Shit, dude.
He missed a fucking 30-yarder.
I think he's the last dude I saw with that stupid helmet with just the one.
Yeah.
Like, what's even the point? What's that stopping? It had, instead of a face shield or a fucking lower mask, it just had one plastic bar.
One bar, yeah.
Like, what's the purpose of that?
Teeth.
That's not stopping anything. If somebody fucking spear tackles uppercut, you in the face, you're getting your whole fucking face knocked off.
Martin Anderson still got all of his teeth. Played for 25 years, I think, that guy.
Well,
should be noted there that he was at one point the highest scoring player in the NFL history. Martin Anderson. R.I.P. Is he still alive?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Yes, yes.
Probably in his 60s.
Probably. We'll switch on over to golf here. I know the new season's cranking up. Big news today. Tiger and Nike ended their 27-year partnership. I'm really shocked by this. I thought he would have had a lifetime deal there.
Maybe he's going to start his own brand or something.
At this age, though, it's like, fuck.
But why not just Jordan yourself?
That's what I don't get.
Yeah. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Because clothing is expensive. And if you're trying to start your own line, I'm sure somebody will buy him out. It's probably going to be somebody shitty, but...
I mean, Greg Norman has his own fucking clothing line. I imagine Tiger could get one. Yeah.
He could,
yeah,
for sure.
Tiger could easily do his own thing. Yeah. He could also, maybe he's getting signed by some clothing company, so like it's not quite the same level, although he is probably close to his internationally famous, but Federer left Nike for Uniqlo. A Japanese clothing company.
Yeah, that's
who. I got paid like $700 million.
Yeah, because he crossed $1 billion overall because of that deal.
Yeah.
I don't know that brand, though, at all.
It's like UNI and then a red bar and then
QLO.
QLO or some shit. They make good stuff.
Yeah, I like them. Djokovic used to wear their stuff way back in the day. It's honestly like oddly affordable, but not shitty.
Yeah.
But they're huge.
It's pretty high quality stuff. Yeah,
it's a huge Japanese brand.
There's like Klay Thompson's got a shoe deal with a Japanese brand as well. The Asian markets are really heating up now.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. Kobe dipped into that a long time ago. So did Starberry back in the day over there. Over the holidays, too, we had a ton of college basketball. This is where I start to get back into it.
Yeah.
I didn't like with everybody sitting out of the bowl games, I started getting more into college basketball. I want to bring up Fox is now showing primetime games on Saturday nights for college basketball, which is fucking dope. I watched Ohio State on Saturday night at Indiana.
What else are you going to play?
I agree, but it was cool to see because they never used to do a primetime Saturday night game.
Yeah.
I hope that trend sticks around.
I mean, the only primetime weekend games I feel like I watched growing up or in recent memory would be like CBS Afternoon on Saturday or something like that. Oh, the night games were still all on like ESPN and stuff like that. But I mean, dude, fucking they need the content. They need the sports, so... Why not?
It's cool. I mean, it was cool to see. I was just shocked to see it.
Yeah. No, it's sweet. I mean, I don't want to watch, you know, some awesome, hilarious actor host a depressing game show. I'd much rather watch a random college basketball game.
So would I. NBA-wise, Draymond Green is back here. Said he contemplated retiring during this suspension. I agree.
He should have retired. I've been a Warriors fan since like the middle 2000s is when I really started watching them. I guess the late 2000s after it was kind of after San Antonio started to fall off. I sort of lost interest in that period between the Lakers and San Antonio being good. And I started watching the Warriors again, but I have no interest in watching that team play anymore.
Because of him
specifically, yeah. And also, they like bad management, I guess. But this is, it was good management for a long time. They just sacrificed the future to win those titles, and this is the result now, right? Klay Thompson's well beyond his prime. If they give him another contract, they're out of their fucking minds. They should cut Draymond Green completely.
Mm-hmm.
Just let him pay him the money or whatever, and get him the fuck out of that organization. Andrew Wiggins is having the worst year of his career. 5 points less per game this year than any point in his career. On a team that has these guys on it. He's not even starting half the games anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last, like the last 2 years, we're talking about, man, he's finally coming in his own. This guy's going to be a superstar. Nope. He's a fucking chud, right? So it's like, what are you, I don't know what they're doing over there. Everybody, the decision makers are all leaving the team to go elsewhere. Who's the, what's the guy's name? Bob Myers?
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember, but that's what happens with good teams, right? All your talent gets poached.
Yeah. It does, yeah. And I just
well, he didn't get poached. I think he's like Harbaugh leaving Michigan. He's like, all right, the fucking other shoe is about to drop.
Right.
I'm going to get out of here before my legacy gets dust on it.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And look, it was a great run for the Warriors, mm-hmm. but he said, I watched his interview this morning. He said David Silver actually talked him out of it, of fucking retiring, which is odd to me. The NBA commissioner.
Yeah.
Like, what is what? Why, I don't know why that would be the case.
Don't either.
What does Draymond Green bring to the NBA?
That's what I think.
I think what the NBA probably wants is for him to rehabilitate a little bit, then retire, and then go do his podcast and be on ESPN and shit.
I think TNT wants him.
Well, yeah. TNT, he's already signed the deal with TNT.
But he's not. But that's not, that deal's not going to happen if he gets fucking ushered out of the fucking league.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I don't want it to happen anyways. I like the four that they have, and they've already locked in Barkley.
No more room.
They've locked in the Jet. Shaq is great. Ernie's the fucking glue of that whole thing. So I don't want to see anything happen to those four. I don't want Draymond Green on my television set.
Put him on ESPN because the ESPN broadcast sucks ass. So get some talent over there.
Dude, did you watch any of those NBA games over the break?
I watched the game where Joker hit the fucking the Warriors game where he hit the game winner from like 60 feet.
It looked like my grandmother shooting a basketball.
It went in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, went in.
He's done that a bunch of times, actually. Like weird bank shots off the fucking from 35 feet out.
Yeah.
To win games. I just want to give an update real quick.
Sure.
Chet Holmgren's stat watch for the new year here. 17.4 points per game.
Okay.
2.6 assists per game.
Okay.
2.4 blocks per game.
Isn't he like third or fourth in the league in blocks?
Yeah, he's 2.6 blocks per game. His 3-point percentage, 39.6. His field goal percentage, 54.3.
Yeah, he's actually got.
Did we break 25 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's at like 33 or 34 now. So he also is shooting 83 or 84% from the free throw line. So he's in his rookie year, like really close to a 50-40-90, which is that only Hall of Famers have ever done that, I think. Steve Nash, Larry Bird, Steph Curry. There's, who else? Maybe Stockton. I don't remember, but it's like less than 10 people have ever done a 50-40-90 season before. Like 50 field goal, 43.90 from the line. So he's very close to having 50-40-90 numbers.
Okay.
It's not going to happen this year. I don't think he can make up 7 percentage points on free throws in half a season.
Probably. Yeah, that'd be nuts.
We'll see.
But yeah, he's doing really well.
It's fine.
But it's only a matter of time before his fucking legs disintegrate.
It's fine for now. We'll see if he can make it through the end of the year.
This is my weekly segment here.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Eagles still need a quarterback. He could certainly win what, rookie of the year?
Oh, he's going to easily win it unless he dies.
Because Chet Holmgren?
Yeah.
I mean, Wemby might win it.
Wemby hasn't been that great.
The team is really bad.
Yeah, the team is terrible.
Wemby has been pretty good. He's leading the league in blocks. He's number one. He's got more points per game, more rebounds per game.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Is he really?
Fair enough. Yeah.
Okay.
But not it's counting stats. His rate stats are lower, and the team is fucking terrible. Chet Holmgren is playing on the second or third best team in the fucking Western Conference.
But they're all young, and part of it's because of him. So,
his point, you learn this when you play fantasy basketball, is that in the NBA, unlike in baseball, like when a baseball team sucks or a football team sucks, everybody can just suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't have to score. They don't have to score.
Right.
And they don't have to get interceptions and stuff like that.
Somebody's got to take the shots.
Yeah, someone's getting numbers on every basketball team.
Yeah.
No matter what, how bad or good they are.
Lakers, by the way, won the little half-season tourney there, hung the banner.
Who fucking cares? And they're
hanging a banner.
In Staples Center?
They're going to do it.
They're going to hang a fucking meaningless.
Sure.
They're 10th right now. They're a game under 500.
Well, they've lost every game since. And even LeBron is like, hey, we played like trash and all that other stuff.
Putting up an in-season tournament banner in that basketball cathedral is like the Pope blessing Jeffrey Epstein.
He did. He did.
Oh, he did.
He did, yeah.
Oh, well, all right, hang the banner.
Yeah,
whatever, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see the pics?
Yeah, I saw the pics. Future Saint. That's a future saint. He well, will be, be. He will be.
You sent beatified. Yeah, you sent me a fucking meme. I think, didn't you? Where it's like, oh no, people are gonna associate the Catholic Church with pedophiles now.
Yeah. Oh, so good, so good. Be a lot of that on fake news here in about 5 minutes on Patreon. To wrap it up, though, I want to end with you, Delco. Over the break, Conor McGregor announced that he was fighting Chandler at 185.
It's going to be a steroid off.
I think he's literally just trolling Chandler. He said, essentially, I tell you to jump, you ask how high.
Okay. Mm. So, one, does that fight happen? Two, what weight would that go off at?
It'll happen. I'm going to say
it'll be 170.
It'll
probably.
Be 170, yeah. Most likely. Okay. Not
but still, they're both going to be tuned up. USADA's gone, dude.
I know.
It is a new era in UFC. It's the 1998 baseball season in UFC now. I want to see somebody get their head literally knocked off of their body.
Same here.
Just Chandler's destroyed.
Been tuned
he's up. Always been big, dude. Yeah. He's always been big. Since college, as a wrestler, he was a fucking
but he's
all
on the gas, for
he's
sure.
He's on the gas, for
of course
sure.
Of course he is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I'm still looking forward to that fight. It's right now. I think it's June 29th.
I believe it's in July. So it'll be International Fight Week in Vegas. They didn't want to do... They're kind of trying to spread the McGregor from UFC 300 in April.
Yeah.
Because they want to get two paydays.
Mm, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But we've been to two McGregor fights in Vegas?
You and I?
One of them was during International Week. One of them was a title fight.
Yep.
Man, there's like 15,000 Irish people.
It's awesome.
Like from Ireland, they came to Vegas for some reason to watch this dude fight. It's wild.
I think Delco, you were at the last one with us, right?
The Poirier fight, where he broke his leg.
Yeah. Holy shit, dude.
It's like all going nuts. New York, and MGM all around the bars right there. It's nothing but fucking drunk Irish people.
Just like pure mix.
He still gets my dick hard. I'd still love to go see him.
Pretty
fight.
Friendly folks, though.
They're a blast. Yeah. They're all fucking fun as shit. And then boxing-wise, I think I'm the only one who still loves boxing here.
No, I mean, Francis.
Well, there's a reason why. So Wilder, I watched the card. Deontay Wilder looked like he was on another fucking planet.
Well, he lost.
He got fucking destroyed in that fight. He didn't just lose. He lost bad in that fight. So he's out, and they were hoping to pair him up against Ngannou. Now, Anthony Joshua, who is the headliner of that fight, there was two co-main events for this boxing match. One, so he's agreed to fight Ngannou. That's going to be fucking awesome there, dude.
Like, it'll be fun, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that in the New Year's. And then whoever wins with Fury and those guys, if Ngannou is able to win and keep going, that would be a fucking awesome story for 2024. So we'll see what happens over there. But either way, we're back. Happy to be here. Join us on Patreon. We'll be going live here in about 5-10 minutes over there on Drinking Bros Podcast on Patreon for fake news. A lot of people asking us how we like the break. I like working, so I don't really need it.
There was a period, so we came in Friday the 22nd after we finished recording for like a couple hours or something.
You and I, yeah.
And I didn't see another person until the following Thursday. I didn't see another human being until that part was cool, but after like 3 days, I was like, man, I gotta either do some drugs or rob a bank. I gotta do something.
I know.
There's nothing to do.
I know. I'm the same. So look, we've got all your messages. We miss you guys as much as you miss us. I don't really ever have a desire to stop working.
I thought about not coming back.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, he was
in
Portugal. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll ask you about that at the top of Drinker Bros Fake News. But in the meantime here, fun game tonight, 6:30 Central, they're saying. And the spread is now up to 6 for Michigan. What the fuck is going on? Where are these last-minute bets coming from?
I'll give you a Ross Patterson special on this game.
Sure.
Is tease up the Washington line and tease down the over-under.
Oh, fuck. If I wouldn't have put so much money on this goddamn thing.
Already, yeah.
I got $1,500. The bet's already posted in Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook.
Washington plus 12.
$1,500.
Is a pretty good bet.
It'd be 13 and then tease down that under down to 48 and
wait,
a half.
They don't do
they
7
do sixes
points.
And seven. I'm saying just you do a 6 point teaser. Yeah, even a 6 point teaser is that's more than enough.
You can do 6, 6.5, 7, you can do whatever you want in my bookie. It's fun. And what was your last bet there? Because I'm gonna do that too.
Oh, McMillan first touchdown. I saw 12 or 13-1.
Woo. That'd be fucking fun, dude. I was this close to hitting one of those over the break. The dude scored a touchdown second. But this game will be a blast. Is this a true start time here of 6:30?
No.
It's not.
That's when the broadcast begins.
Oh, God. What time does this actually kick off?
I bet it's 6:50, 6:45.
What's it on?
Oh, that's fun.
Is it on NBC?
Because we're in Central.
No, it's ESPN. So ABC. ESPN.
Yeah. Oh, ABC, I mean, yeah. So
no, it's a true ESPN game tonight.
So who's who's announcing?
It'll be Fowler and Herbstreit.
Yeah.
That's
they're great. Yeah. I'm always down for those guys.
I feel like they should do every game. Every game.
Fowler is
like the NFL announcers now are fucking terrible.
Horrible.
There's not one team that I look forward to fucking
Buck and Aikman.
Like I like Tirico. He's smart. He knows football. But as a fucking broadcast guy, it's.
I don't like Joe Buck naked. Throw me some Gus Johnson during the playoffs, Fox. I don't really get it. He's under contract. Throw him in. He's the goddamn greatest.
I've had enough of Greg Olsen too.
Same.
And his fake ass hair.
Same.
We know it's not real, Greg.
It's not real, Greg.
We've seen the marker marks on your fucking forehead, bro.
It's not fucking real.
I mean, it looks good. Actually, it might be real. The hair regrowth stuff has actually turned a corner now.
It has, but he definitely got some plugs.
For a while, yeah.
Third leg Greg. That's right. Again, join us on Patreon here in about 5-10 minutes for Drinker Bros fake news. In the meantime, good luck. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Just make sure to use that promo code Drinking Bros to double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. I got $1,500 on Washington, +4.5 tonight. And again, that bet slip is already posted over there in Drinking Bros Sports. So if you don't believe me, I'm all in tonight. I can't wait to watch this fucking game.
A little concerned with that line movement?
A lot. And I don't really get it.
Ugh.
And the ticket prices, too, I'm concerned with. I always look at the ticket prices. The fact that they haven't come down under $1,000 for the last seat in the stadium.
Oh, I can give you one reason.
That's why. Michigan fans.
I know it's Michigan. It's not Washington.
It's going to be a Michigan home game.
It has to be. With a number that high, it's got to be all Michigan. That could be 75-25 in there tonight in that building.
That's going to be rough. It's going to be.
On my flight back from North Carolina, it was all Michigan fans.
Yeah.
Who were getting ready to go to that fucking game. So. Yeah, it was strange, but fun times, kids. And then and we'll talk about the winners and losers on the NFL playoff pick'em show this week. Appreciate you tuning in, kids. For D'Anthony Holloway, Hot Bob, Delco Dan, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.